So throughout this year, we've been talking about connecting to God and one another. And I'm going to name off for you some of the things that we have talked about in the first 7 months of this year in terms of connecting to God. First of all, we talked about connecting to creation. Then we talked about connecting to the voice of God within us. We talked about connecting to our past and looked at our history. We talked about connecting to Jesus in a whole variety of ways as our hope. We talked about connecting to the Holy Spirit. And today we begin a new series on connecting to God and the world, the church in mission. So that's why our missions team, our missions people have purple shirts on today, because they're helping right here. They're helping us as we go into this sermon series. Now, remember when I started talking about connecting early on in the year, I talked about pieces fitting into place, like a jigsaw puzzle, that we're looking for all the pieces that can fall into place. This is another one of the pieces that represents who we are as Christians, and specifically as United Methodists, putting that piece of connecting God and the world in mission. So today I'm going to give you a message that has a lot of information, kind of a teaching sort of sermon. So those of you who love to take notes, today would be a day to do that. We're going to start with two scriptures to guide us. One is the servant song in Isaiah chapter 49, and particularly listen to the last line, where the servant of God, and that would mean us as well, is called to be a light to the world. And then we're going to hear a portion of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 25 that reminds us, whenever we do it to those who are part of Jesus' family, whenever we are reach out to those who are a part of Jesus' family, we do it for him. We begin with Isaiah 49.
From the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing in vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward is with God." And now the Lord says, "Who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. He says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Now words from the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 34 through 40. Then the king will come to those at his right hand. "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. So may the light of your love, O God, shine through us. Open our hearts to hear your word. Amen. So my very first real experience with mission work was through Appalachia Service Project. We lived in southeastern Wisconsin, and I was serving as a youth director in a United Methodist church, and our daughter was in high school. And so I and other youth leaders in the area organized Appalachia Service Project. Here in the West, we have Sierra Service Project. But in the East, we went to Appalachia. So with Julie and a busload of other youth, we headed for the Kentucky Hills. And I want to tell you just a tad about Appalachia Service Project. In 1969, so it'll be 50 years next year, Reverend Glenn Tex Evans, who was a United Methodist minister, became one of the first people to connect the energy of youth with the deep needs of the poor. And he said from the very beginning, we accept people right where they are, just the way they are. And so we went into Appalachia. We got to stay in a dorm-like setting, and then we were organized into little work teams. And I wasn't on the work team with Julie. I had a bunch of other youth, and we were taken over a bumpy road in a van with some boards sticking out of the back to a single wide mobile home in the hills where Mrs. Ellis lived. Mrs. Ellis was desperately poor. And what had happened is that her little porch and her steps had almost completely deteriorated. So she really had no way to easily get in and out of her mobile, which was about 6 feet off the ground. So we were there to build her a porch and some steps so that she could get in and out. And when we got there that first day, she greeted us warmly. She opened her door. She was a little tiny white-haired woman. She opened her door and she said, "I'm so glad you're here." And we said, "Well, we're glad we're here too." And we began over 4 days to get her little porch and her steps built. Desperately poor. Every day at the end of the day, she invited us into her home, which was perfectly clean, very sparse, but perfectly clean. And she would give us tea and cookies. And we would sit in her living room and hear her story. And something began to change in me. I thought that ASP, like SSB, was a nice thing for youth to do, to help people in need, and it turned out to be something else. It started my understanding that mission work grows out of our faith, because God has done so much for me through Jesus, I am called to help to change a world in need. Faith in Jesus and service in the world is deeply connected, like the two arms of the cross, two pieces of the same puzzle. This wasn't just us doing something nice for someone. It was a partnership. Just because Mrs. Ellis was poor, it didn't mean that she was less than us or didn't have so much to give us herself. We sat in her home, we drank her tea, we heard her stories, we were deeply enriched and our faith strengthened. She was desperately poor and she really had nobody to help her, so we did. But it was her home, her life, and she had stories and hospitality to offer us. I also began to learn, out of respect for others, don't do for them what they can do for themselves. I think sometimes I have done that. I have done things for people that they could have done for themselves because it's more work to help people help themselves rather than just do it for them. But that is patronizing and it makes people dependent rather than empowered to care for themselves. And so an ASP, Appalachia Service Project, like Sierra Service Project, People work to put aside our own needs and desires and become free in Jesus' name to share our talents, our love, our hope with people who are in need. And since 1969, over 18,000 families have been helped through the Appalachia Service Project. Next week, you get to hear from our youth who went on Sierra Service Project, so there'll be a similar story, I'm sure. The goal of ASP is to make homes warmer, safer, and drier. They do home rebuilding and repairs. They do that by building relationships with people that break down cultural and social and economic barriers, and we often hear about significant life changes that happen in the lives of those who are helped and those who are their partners. You know, our commitment to mission started with our Methodist roots in John Wesley. Remember my comment that ASP was started by United Methodist minister Tex Evans? His roots and ours in mission work are in John Wesley himself, the founder of Methodism in the 1700s. Wesley was an Anglican priest in the Church of England who looked around and he saw desperate poverty and need among people in Britain. And he himself went into the mines and the bars and the neighborhoods and the streets to address the needs of people. But he wasn't doing this just to be nice. He believed that God had saved him through Jesus, had given him life and breath, and that Jesus would one day return to earth. Wesley believed that Jesus would one day return to earth, and he wondered, what kind of earth would Jesus find? So John Wesley taught that our personal piety, our growth in faith through worship and prayer, was deeply connected to alleviating suffering in the world. He called it a seamless garment of grace. Personal piety and serving those in need. So Wesley's Methodists didn't just write checks anonymously, although that's fine to do sometimes. They personally engaged with helping with the poor in the name of Jesus. Wesley opposed slavery with all of his being, and the Methodist movement condemned the practice in the late 18th century, assisting William Wilberforce and others in eliminating slavery. Wesley worked tirelessly for justice in all domains, including education. Sanitation, because he thought that cleanliness is next to godliness, meant clean water and housing. Grab a hold of that. It doesn't just mean taking showers. It means clean water and a good place to live. And he worked for political reforms that would prevent the nobility from getting even richer from government pensions at the expense of the poor. That's our John Wesley. Wesley affirmed property rights and protections for workers. He believed in giving generously to both local and foreign missions in order to alleviate poverty and suffering. Wesley believed that God wanted all people to flourish, both spiritually and in everyday life. Those are our roots for mission today, where we come from as United Methodists, as followers of Jesus. So mission work at its best is about helping people know the love of Jesus Christ while relieving their suffering and helping them get on their feet and being able to thrive on their own, bringing them hope, empowering and strengthening people through our service in Jesus' name because of all that God has done for us. Now, sometimes we have done mission work badly. There's countless stories about this throughout the last several hundred years. In the fictional story of Reverend Price in the Poisonwood Bible by Barbara Kingsolver, he takes his family to 1960 Belgian Congo. He went there with his family to make Christians out of the people there. He brought his agricultural methods, which it's such a funny story. The people who are there tell him that this is great that you brought us new seeds. We like new seeds, but you need to build in mounds. You need to plant in mounds, not flat. And he brought his methods from the U.S. where everything was planted flat. And then the floods came. And they washed away all his seeds because he hadn't listened to them about building in mounds. And the other thing he really, really wanted to do was he wanted the people to have their children baptized in the nearby river, which had crocodiles in it. And he couldn't understand. It took him about 6 months before somebody kind of clued him in, or it stuck, that the people were not going to let their children go into the river. Because just a year or so before, a little child had gone in the river and been eaten by a crocodile. He failed to learn about the people, to listen to them, to hear their stories and needs, to appreciate who they were as people of worth and value. Instead, he thought he had all the answers and he was going to bring it to them. It was a miserable failure for him and for his family, particularly because the people carried on. But their life was not made better by his having been there. Now, this is a fictional account, but there are many stories of well-meaning people who thought they had all the right answers for people, both spiritually and practically, without even bothering to know them. And then there are many mission efforts that have been done very well, extremely well. Think Imagine No Malaria and the great reduction in the incidence of malaria on the continent of Africa through the efforts of the United Methodist Church and its partners. Think about that here in our church, off the top of our giving, we give 10% to missions for local, national, and international work. Too many things to mention here. We've been involved with so many things here, ministries that are designed to bring hope and relieve suffering and strengthen people to thrive on their own. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to hear about some of the mission work offered by people in our church. As I said, next week, Sierra Service Project and Middle School Mission, our ministries in Agua Prieta, the Inn Project, Nash Ministries, other local ministries and mission that we're part of. Today, I want to lift up for you a mission project of the United Methodist Church that has been so enriching. Some of our apportionment dollars and some special offerings have helped in the establishment and the flourishing of Africa University in Zimbabwe, Africa. There was a need on the African continent for a United Methodist University to train not only religious leaders, but healthcare workers, scholars, lawyers, doctors, teachers, and so much more. A university that would empower the people on the African continent to lead their own people, understanding them in ways that we often would find difficult. So begun in 1992, 26 years ago, now Africa University, a good United Methodist-related institution, has graduated almost 9,000 students. This year, graduated 616 graduates from 21 African countries. And here's an interesting part. Out of the 616, 309 women and 307 men. Now leading all across Africa. Now we know that what combats poverty and thus combats terrorism and other evils is education and a way out of poverty and a way into good jobs. And there is Africa University, a mission project of the United Methodist Church leading the way in that across Africa. Imagine the effect of that. Imagine. We think about mission work that truly helps. In Toxic Charity, Robert Lupton, who is well experienced in mission and service, talks about ways to be truly helpful to people in need, rather than just making ourselves feel good at the expense of making people dependent rather than self-sufficient. He suggests an oath of compassionate service that includes a number of things, and I'm just going to lift up a couple for you. He says, subordinate your self-interest to the needs of those who are being served. He said, listen closely to those you seek to help, especially to what is not being said, to the unspoken feelings that may contain clues to what people really need. And above all, do no harm. And I add to this, trust the organizations that follow this and work with them, because we can't always figure out everything for ourselves about who to give to and who to serve through. So we need to trust some of our organizations that we know do the work well, and like those through the United Methodist Church. That's just what I'm saying. Here's the summary and the point. Reaching out in mission is who we are as United Methodists. We serve in the world. We alleviate suffering and we help all people to be whole. It's part of a seamless garment that includes growing in our faith in Jesus and serving him in the world. Now, you don't have to be United Methodist, but if you are, this is who you are. And we need to remember that all mission work must be approached with great humility and with a servant's heart, with a deep respect for people, a willingness to listen to and respond to their needs, not ours. That's what God is saying through the servant song in the book of Isaiah, that we are to be a light to the world. The prophet Isaiah thought that he should just be a light to his own people. And God says, no, I have a bigger vision for you. You are to be a light to the world. And we need to remember that all mission work must include a great desire to help people become self-sufficient and gear our mission work toward that and have a desire for that rather than doing those things that primarily satisfy our own needs and make us feel good. You know, what happens, though, is that in serving in mission, we do become blessed, because that's how Jesus works. When we do it for the least of these who are members of his family, we do it for him. We grow and we are changed, and we draw closer to him as we draw closer to those we seek to serve. So be sure you visit Fellowship Hall today. Visit the people with the green shirts and learn about the adult spiritual growth opportunities. And visit the people with the purple shirts to get a brochure about all the things that we are doing in mission, because we seek to do the kinds of things that I've been talking about, things that not only change us, but help to relieve suffering and help others draw close to Jesus, in whose name we offer ourselves. Amen.